Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
So, Mr. Marks, it's an honor to talk to you on WGN.
Oh, Steve Areno, this is indeed a real treat. Yours. Steve, you're just wasting your breath, and that's no great loss either. Steve, people may think you look like an idiot and speak like an idiot, but don't let that fool you. You really are an idiot. Why don't you bore a hole in yourself and let the sap run out? Steve, the next time I see you, remind me not to talk to you, will you?
You were the quickest wit of your day, no doubt, which spanned for days, decades. Though when you regularly appeared with Dick Cavett, who do you think are some of the quickest wits today?
Well, there's quite a few still here today, Steve. I'm glad you mentioned that. I like Peter Sagal from Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. It's very much like my old show, You Bet Your Life, which ran for 14 years on radio and television. And I love his guest on that show, which is Paula Poundstone. I'd say Poundstone, no one's better. But Paula Poundstone is dry and funny, quick. Dorothy Parker has nothing on Paula Poundstone. I love Phoebe Waller-Bridge, a Fleabag. Speaking of Fleabags, it was nice staying with you the other day. And, of course, I love Sarah Silverman. Those are my favorites right now and today. And you, Steve, do you have any thoughts on that? Not that I particularly care.
I really don't. If there was a movie about the Marx Brothers, aside from you, who would play you?
Yes. Well, I can only think of one, and the brilliantly talented Frank Ferrante. I don't know if you've heard of him. But I think he'd be terrific, and in fact, he's doing me right now on PBS. So if you have the PBS app, you can watch Frank Ferrante as yours truly. How's that for a plug?
Very nice.
Oh, it's Broadway on Demand. Or you can come see me, see Frank Ferrante as me on stage anytime you want.
All right.
But there's no one else I can think of offhand.
All right.
Unless you're not busy.
We'll get to the plugs in a minute. So what's your favorite movie?
Too late.
It is. What's your favorite movie of today? Aside from, clearly, you're a fan of Taylor Swift and her film.
Well, who isn't? Well, if today is December 26, 1933, I'd say it's Duck Soup.
Okay.
Hail, hail, Fredonia.
How about today, 2023, going into 2024?
That's a good question. I liked Oppenheimer, I'd say Barbie was one of my favorites. But I'm a big Taylor Swift fan. Anyone as strong, powerful female, I'm all for it.
You certainly are. We're all very sensitive today. Do you think that your brand of comedy would hold up?
Well, does it hold up? I think it's doing better than ever. As I always say, Steve, there's no such thing as an old joke if you've never heard it before. But, you know, all my movies were on TCM yesterday. Quite a few of them were on TCM, and then on New Year's Day on the 1st and 2nd and 3rd, there's a Marx Brothers marathon. So something's still holding up after almost 100 years. I should tell you something.
What does it tell us? Why do you think that's the case?
Well, funny is funny. Simple as that.
Well, of course.
And I'm still here because of it.
You know, I thought that give me a second here. I thought that if maybe John Williams.
I think the second has passed.
I know. I thought that maybe.
And so have I.
I thought maybe if John Williams can talk with Thomas Jefferson, and he does, very famously, I could talk with Groucho Marx. And in fact, this is Frank Ferrante, who plays Groucho Marx. And it just doesn't come to be that you play Groucho Marx. You actually had not only permission, but encouragement from the Marx Brothers family after Groucho had passed away from his children. Once they saw the show or saw the script, you'll have to tell me, but they were thrilled that you were doing this. That was decades ago, and you still are all over the country.
Steve, thank you. Thank you for having me on. Thank you for let me do a little Groucho there for you. And I've been very fortunate as part of my career to perform the role of Groucho Marx on stage and screen. And I first did it to a certain amount of success when I was in college, and in the audience was Groucho's son, Arthur, and Groucho's daughter, Miriam. And Groucho's son was a playwright, and he's since passed, said to me, Frank, and he wrote a show about his father, Groucho. And he said to me when I was 22, if I ever do a show about my father, I'd like to use you. And weeks later, I graduate, and I'm on the road breaking in a show that wound up going to New York and London. And we became dear friends, and I played Groucho in Arthur Marx's show, Groucho, A Life in Review. From age 15 to 85, I was playing Groucho, and we went from New York to London. And I became quite close, extremely close, I should say, to Arthur and Miriam. And we had a spiritual connection, and they knew I loved their father, and they liked the accuracy of my performance and my sincerity, and so here I am, almost 40 years later, and that's my story. I'm very fortunate.
I think I could say this on the air. You've told me this in private, that Miriam, Groucho's daughter, and Groucho's son Arthur, who, by the way, if you watch television sitcoms of a certain era, you could see mm-hmm. his name as a writing credit on many, many shows, that they didn't get along with one another, but they both loved you. In fact, so much, you were involved separately in both of their estates, because they have both since, at this point, long passed away.
Yes, I was, Arthur and I were family, and Miriam and I were family, and you know, they asked me to. I had their medical directives, and I helped them in their later years, and was a power of attorney for Miriam. So, you know, I was able to, in a way, repay the Marx family because I got so much out of that love that I had. I was able to become an actor and a director because of Groucho inspiring me when I saw A Day at the Races, one of their movies, when I was a boy. But yes, it's a very, very close connection. Miriam bequeathed me 200 letters that her father wrote to her over a period of 30 years. I think there's a funny line in one of those letters. I'm currently suffering from a galloping case of senility. Sorry about that. You know, it just goes on and on. But he loved his daughter and his son. And it's an honor. It's an honor to share the legacy. And I'm still doing the shows, and it taught me a lot about comedy and timing and rhythms, but knowing that they were behind it makes it doable for me. They saw that this was I'd be able to help continue the father's legacy, which is what I plan on continuing to do.
What was he really like, Frank?
He was really basically a serious man. He would describe himself as a serious man, a person with a serious bent. He never made it past the sixth grade, Steve, and he was embarrassed by that to a certain extent, and he went out to educate himself, and he was self-educated, and he kept a dictionary in his glove compartment of his car, and he became a very literate man, a man of letters, and he prided himself on that. He was dutiful. He was serious, disciplined. He loved being a performer. He got the bug when he was 14 years old. When he went on the road, without his brothers, and which was a scary thing to do. He worked with a couple of other people, an actor manager, and he was on the road, and they stranded him. So early on, he saw the ups and downs of show business and a freelance existence. So I think he loved his kids. He had difficulty in his relationships with his wives. He was married three times. But this was a man that was engaged. In the world. He knew what was going on in the political scene. He knew what was going on in sports. He knew what was going on in every area of life. He was a voracious reader. I have many of his books that his kids gave me as gifts. But he was a sensitive soul. And I the older I get, Steve, the more I realize he was just trying to do his best. And of course, he had this genius. As you said, there's no one wittier than Groucho Marx. And the fact that we're talking about him in 2023, that there was this Dick Cavett Groucho documentary on this past year. My show is all kidding aside, has been playing on PBS. Books keep coming out on Groucho Marx, and these television film festivals. You know, I'm calling you from Los Angeles right now. And yesterday, they were showing Marx Brothers movies at the Beverly Cinema. On New Year's Day here in Santa Monica, they're showing Marx for the movies, and Groucho's grandson, Andy Marx, will be introducing them.
Nice.
So there's still this love for Groucho Marx and the Marx Brothers, this great combination of physical and verbal humor. But to answer your question, he was a complicated human. And in reading his letters, which I'd encourage your listeners to do, whether it was the Groucho letters, but even more movingly, a book called Love Groucho, that he, in which he wrote letters to his daughter, Miriam, over 30 years. You learn a lot about him as a human. He's a caring parent. He's at once angry and giving and generous and frustrated, everything a parent can be. And it's a great American story. It's a struggle and survival story. He came from nothing, came from near poverty, and he's self-made.
Yeah,
I just reread his book, Steve, Groucho and Me, which is worth revisiting.
Groucho and Me is the book you mentioned. An Evening with Groucho, January 13th at the Metropolis Performing Arts Theater in Arlington Heights. That's where folks can see you. And apparently, Carl, you've seen Frank Ferrante before. Welcome to WGN. Hi, Carl.
Yeah, hi, Steve. Hey, how you doing, Frank? Merry belated Christmas to both of you. But anyway, Frank, I came across Frank when I went to go see Teatro Zanzani in the past. And, you know, absolutely hilarious. But then subsequently, some months ago, I came across the Groucho thing on WTTW Channel 11. And Frank, I got nothing except good things to say. It's just really fantastic. Really, really enjoyed the Groucho thing as well, Frank. Really did.
Carl, thank you so much. You know, it's been a joy. I've been playing in Chicago quite a bit on and off for the last years. And to go from Teatro Zanzani and Cabaret Zazu to Groucho, I've done a lot of interactive comedy, but listen, your support means the world. And I love sharing. You know, the Marx Brothers were very popular in Chicago, and I've done a little, you know, some research, and they played so many theaters here and did hundreds of performances in Chicago. And the Chicago audience has always loved this type of humor, but I'm grateful for the support that I get, Carl. So thank you for the kindness.
Oh, he's not alone. Mark, you are also on WGN. Hi.
Hi. Harpo, his brother, had written an autobiography called Harpo Speaks. And near the beginning of the book, as of course they did their vaudeville business, the names of the five brothers were actually done at a poker game here in Rockford, Illinois.
Really?
And I know it, there's another source that thought that it was maybe Galesburg, but Harpo literally writes that those five names, and Groucho came from something called a grouch bag, and that's how Julius ended up with the name Groucho.
Well, Harpo.
Yeah, you know, I've heard.
Go ahead. Harpo played the harp.
Right.
Chico, where did that come from, Frank?
Well, Chico was the Chicken Chasers, women, girls. He was a real womanizer. You know, he was known for that. And the Groucho thing, Mark. Thanks for chiming in there. You know, Harpo says it's a grouch bag. George Fenneman, his old sidekick on You Bet Your Life, said it was the grouch bag. Groucho said it was because of his disposition, being grouchy. So I would turn to him as the source. I just read this in his autobiography this week, Groucho and Me. Zeppo was apparently born when Zeppelins were popular, and so he became Zeppo. And Gummo, the fifth brother, wore gum-soled shoes, rubber shoes, so he got the name Gummo.
How about the other brother that isn't talked about, Flubbo? That's the one Paul Lisnick played. And by the way,
wait a minute. You got that in there, Steve.
I did, and Mr. Lisnick will be here in just a couple of minutes. All right, much more I want to talk to you about Frank Ferrante. One of those things is comedy today. You know, the Dave Chappelle's of the world. I mean, when you were kind of playing Groucho when you and I were chatting, and you were, as you always are, so funny, stealing Mr. Marx's lines. But Dave Chappelle, what he does is very, very original. Do you think, but offensive to many, do you think that Groucho would have said, yes, go for it, or not? And I don't only mean Chappelle. I mean today's comedy in general.
Well, I personally love what's going on today. There was a time, maybe some 20 years ago, where people were going, what happened to the comedy? And there's so much great comedy on television, now we call TV, on streaming, Netflix, and Hulu, and I think there's just brilliance out there, including Dave Chappelle, and I think Groucho, you know, if you put him with it, he was working over 100 years ago, and his stuff was dangerous then, and it was edgy, and they were tearing apart, literally, the stages and society, and were behaving completely inappropriately And that was they were going against all of society's rules and behaviors, and it was breathtaking. As a boy, when I watched them, my breath is still taken away when I watch A Day at the Races and see how they behave. But I think he'd love that because he liked innovation. He loved originality. There aren't many people like Dave Chappelle. I have great admiration for stand-up comedians. I could never do it. I'm an actor. I'm interpreting roles, and including Groucho's, which is my interpretation might be original, but there's only one Groucho. But to answer your question, Steve, there's so much funny in the world. I love, from you name it. And, I mentioned as Groucho, people like Paula Poundstone and Sarah Silverman and Phoebe Waller-Bridge. And I mean, there are hundreds of Tina Fey. The list goes on, and you have to be daring and you have to write for yourself, which is always the truth, the authentic. You know, you can't really worry about whether this is going to please someone when you take on material. I like Ricky Gervais makes me laugh hard, and I think Groucho would have loved him as well. He startles you, and comedy should surprise you. And Groucho's comedy in its time and still is surprising. So to answer your question, so many great comedians, and I think Groucho liked the smart ones. He loved George Carlin. He loved, people of that ilk.
Well, we love you, and Chicago loves you. We'll be seeing you January 13th at the Metropolis Performing Arts Center in Arlington Heights. An evening with Groucho, Frank Ferrante. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much.
I can't wait. Steve, thanks for having me. Happy New Year to you, and hello, I must be going.